You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on the go with our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you'll find links to not only this show, but some of our other material, like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio today is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Oh, I am good, Paul. You know what?
What?
It's October.
It is October.
What does that mean?
We're going to talk about it.
Talk about October?
We're going to talk about it.
Talk about October.
We're talking about it.
Oh, it? What's it?
We're talking about it.
Where is it?
It's in a book.
Oh.
And a movie. And a TV miniseries.
Gotcha.
You beat me to the joke. I really wanted to save that for when we got closer. But yes, it is October, and that means it's Halloween season. So, Sean and Paul.
This is officially our third Halloween month doing this podcast.
I know. I love Halloween month. It's my favorite month. And you know what? When we first did Halloween month, we picked very specific films, and I think maybe this year we might even be looking at some topical stuff for Halloween.
Maybe.
I'm so excited.
Maybe.
This is my favorite time of the year. I love October, and just, I'm psyched. And yes, we are talking about It, the Stephen King-inspired movies, TV, and Creepy Creep Clown. But,
are you a clown fan?
I'm indifferent to clowns.
Me too.
Like, I've never really... Our dear friend, Ronnie, is terrified of clowns, petrified of clowns. Producer Melanie also is not a fan of clowns. I've never been scared of clowns, but I've never enjoyed clowns, if that makes sense.
I mean, I've only really known clowns from going to the circus, so...
And even that, like, when's the last time you went to the circus?
25 years ago.
I was hoping you were going to say, like, you know, 2 weeks ago. Like,
there's no circuses anymore.
No circuses anymore. Thanks a lot, P.T. Barnum. Jeez.
God.
What a terrible person he actually was in real life.
God,
but anyway.
Hugh Jackman, you suck.
Yeah, he tried to make that character so likable. I love it. But yes, so we're doing It this week because we are recording before the actual start of October. So we are, I know, time
That's
travel.
Right.
Time travel. So hopefully the following episode, we're going to talk about the new Hocus Pocus.
Well, I just want to say that for anyone who has listened to our previous episode, and there's already some people who have, I've already gotten texts from Brendan.
Oh, God.
Calling me out on that I haven't seen Shawshank Redemption.
You know, it's funny. I'm surprised this character wasn't in iconic movie characters.
Yeah.
So also,
maybe because the movie version is not as iconic as Tim Curry because it's technically TV.
No, that's fair.
But
that's fair.
Pulling legs. So as we said at the end of the last episode, that shit was garbage. It was a garbage list.
I've never seen Sean so mad.
Spit at that list. So what I did was I went out and made not 100, I'm not crazy, but I'd say a solid 20 character list of characters I feel should have been on that list in some way. I'm not ranking them. I'm not going to do that. But if you want to hear that, listen to our next episode of MF Uncensored.
Oh, yeah. Sean was
so as a tease,
fired up.
We're not doing it here because we're talking Halloween.
Yes, we are talking Halloween. And also, you know, Sean scared me in the wrong way with that list because he got so mad.
God, so mad.
Oh, my God. God, so mad. All right, so we are going to break this episode up into two separate parts. The first part is going to focus on the 1990 It miniseries. So I believe two-part miniseries?
Two-part miniseries on, yep, from 1990.
From 1990, and then we're going to take a quick break, and then in the second half, we're going to talk about the more modern interpretation of It and It Chapter 2. All right? So let's start with the original It. Now, we aren't going to do a play-by-play of the plot like we have before, because for four basic parts, that would be a lot of talking.
That's a lot, yeah. So right. Basically, we'll just go over, you know, the cast, the memories of that movie in terms of where it is in the pop culture lexicon of today and all that type of stuff.
So before we even do that, let's talk about the actual character of It. Now, It is most commonly referred to as such. They don't actually have a name for it. It's never really been...
And spoiler alerts, please, people. Like, if you're listening to this, we assume you know the storyline of It.
Yes.
Where we're going to talk about the ending. We're going to talk about what it is. So just letting you all know, if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be surprised, you know, don't listen.
Yep, get out of here. And then come back.
So, yeah, so the kids refer to it as it. Otherwise, Pennywise the Clown is the most known form of it.
So the reason we say it's a form, so basically this character is an ancient, like, alternate dimension evil, and it preys on children. Mm-hmm. And it wakes up every approximately 27 years to feed and then go back to sleep.
And then each occurrence, it's tied in with what the area deems as a big tragic accident.
Some sort of accident, like giant fire or anything along those lines.
Yes.
So it wakes up every 27 years, and the story for both the book, the miniseries, and the TV and the movie is that it's the same group of kids who have to deal with it once as children and then 27 years later as adults. So right away, all of these have two separate casts.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about each cast individually for their movie. We're not going to talk about all of them all at once. Now, its most famous form is, like we said, Pennywise the Dancing Clown. First thoughts on Pennywise the Dancing Clown.
Ooh, as just a character, or are we talking about just Tim Curry's performance?
Character first.
Oh, I mean, it's one of those characters that you read it in the book, and it's obviously scary, but you're like, how can this be brought to life? How can a clown be evil? Now, of course, you say that, and there's also, what's the serial killer's name?
John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy.
So, I mean, I don't know you.
There are other reasons why clowns are hated by many people, not just because of Pennywise, but Pennywise is probably the big factor into why a lot of people don't like clowns. It's a terrifying character because, again, anytime you deal with children being killed, it's always, you know, a troubling storyline. And, you know, what is this force that these kids are going up against?
So we're not going to talk too much about the literary stuff because in the Stephen King universe, there's a whole story about it and his natural enemy, the space turtle known as Maturin or something along those lines. Nah. They make reference to it in some of the movies, but they thought a giant space turtle just wasn't realistic enough. Let's talk about, first and foremost, Tim Curry and his portrayal of it. Obviously, iconic. Terrifying.
Absolutely. I mean, this is up there with Frankenfurter and the Devil from Legend as probably his most famous roles in his career. He's got a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tim Curry's one of those actors that never gives a performance that is, like, dull or boring or anything. He gives it his all every time.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, he was also not big on taking this role because he didn't want to be under all that makeup, which he was in Legend, and he said it was very uncomfortable. He didn't like it, but he loved the story, and he thought that it would be really good to pull this off.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Tim Curry is also one of those actors that we've seen forever. Like, what's the first Tim Curry movie you remember?
It's probably Clue.
I would actually, I know you're going to hate me for this. Home Alone 2.
That's fair.
That's the first movie I remember.
It could have been the first. That could have been the first movie. But in terms of the movie that I just recall knowing who he is was Clue.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't shock me if I had seen Home Alone 2 before seeing Clue, but just not grasping that it was the same guy or who he was. But yeah, no, Home Alone 2 is a solid choice there. Solid reference.
And also, fun fact, that was Tim Curry's real hair. They did. So a lot of people think that was a wig that they did for him, but no, it was all him, because like Sean mentioned, he hated the idea.
Really? That was his real hair?
That's what I'm reading. Yeah, he wanted to be he might not have wanted to be in the makeup chair for hours, but Tim Curry dedicated himself to the role in other ways. Most people think that Pennywise wild puffs of red hair were a wig, but it was actually Tim Curry's real hair, which he grew out for the role and then teased and frizzed up every single day.
Interesting.
Wild. Tim Curry is also one of those actors that's just very... He'll always go all out for whatever role he's doing. He was, like I said, he was a highlight in Home Alone 2.
Yeah. I mean, Home Alone 2, Clue. Even he's like the bad guy in, like, you know, crappy movies like Charlie's Angels and stuff like that, you know? And
oh, God, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, just even like other movies like that, he kind of pops in and out of. I mean, he's also a very well-respected Broadway actor. Like we said, he is Frankenfurter from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He was in the original off-Broadway production. He came over to America and did the Broadway production. He was in Spamalot. So he's been everywhere. Mm-hmm. Movies, TV. He can sing.
Oh,
he is a fantastic singer.
Why are you yelling?
I'm not yelling.
You got so fired up.
I'm just saying he's a fantastic singer.
Oh, yeah. But so let's now move on to
the... We doing the older versions, kids, or the kids first?
We could do both for each character.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. So the main leader of the losers is Bill, Denbrough?
Denbrough,
played as an adult by Richard Thomas and as a child played by Jonathan Brandis.
So the big thing with the 1990 miniseries, it was very big in casting TV actors, getting these well-known television actors to portray the adults. Richard Thomas is prime example of that. That's John Boy from the Waltons. That was, he grew up doing that show. And Jonathan Brandis, we know from Sidekicks.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and he went on to do Sequest. He was on the TV show Sequest for a couple years. And he was like a teen idol on that show. Sadly, he died 20 plus years ago. So he's no longer with us, but very good actor. And he really nailed the character as the kid. I mean, obviously, the kid, Bill, has a stutter through the whole part of the movie with him, and you know, obviously having to do that, he's really, really gives it all in that performance. And then Richard Thomas too, I mean, fantastic actor, and I think both of them just did excellent.
And he's kind of based on Stephen King,
I think, because he becomes a horror author. He even kind of looks, they make Richard Thomas look like Stephen King with the glasses and the, and
now,
the hair.
Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a horror, like, I'm not a scary horror movie kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I like my fun Halloween, you know, like your Hocus Pocus and stuff like that. I'll still watch the horror movies, and I love, you know, like your Scream and stuff like that. Just correct me if I'm wrong. The kids, after they leave, they start to forget about all that. Like, that's part of it. Yes. Like, people forget what happened there, except for the one kid that stays. And he's the one that brings them all back.
Mike Hanley, he brings them all back.
So let's move now to Annette O'Toole, who we know from Smallville as Martha Kent.
Superman 3, Lana Lang.
Very funny still. Plays Beverly Marsh. As a child, she was portrayed by Emily Perkins. All right.
Yeah, I don't know anything much about Emily Perkins, but obviously Annette O'Toole, you know, loved
Emily
her from
Perkins,
Smallville.
How dare you? She was a recurring role on Supernatural. She played Superfan Becky.
I don't remember.
Season 4 and on. She was the one that got them to go to the Supernatural convention. We'll watch it later. Don't worry.
Oh, great.
You walked into it. But yes, keep going.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Because you really threw me off there.
Annette O'Toole.
Annette O'Toole. So she was, I think, the only real movie actor of this group. No, that's not true, because other actors I know are in movies as well. But
no, it's okay. I'm just enjoying the show.
I know. It's just, you know. But she was just really, really good and a very respectable actress and does a hell of a job. I haven't seen her in anything in a long time.
She hasn't really done much since Smallville ended.
Yeah. Married to Michael McKean.
Yes.
Still.
Played Perry White.
Perry White. Yeah. Yep.
Moving down the list, we have John Ritter, who plays Ben Hanscom.
All right. John Ritter.
The child actor is, I don't see it on here. Help me.
I'm looking. Jay Ryan.
There it is. All right. Thank you.
But, wait, no, that was the 2019.
Oh, come on. We're terrible.
I'm literally looking at this, and I don't see the kid's name. You're right.
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, Brandon Crane.
There it is. Yep.
I don't think he really did much.
Because he didn't do much. Yep.
He doesn't have his own Wikipedia page.
Oh, man. But Ben is the stereotypical fat kid of the group.
Yeah.
Your horses. Who does the truffle shuffle? Chunk. Yep.
But not. He's not goofy.
He's not goofy,
and I think they did a really good job in the miniseries. They didn't want him to be the token fat kid. You know, no fat jokes. There was no, you know, like him completely always stuffing his face full of food. Mm. He was just big.
Doesn't the bully like carve something into his stomach or something?
John Ritter, I mean, this is casting that you would never expect, because you only think John Ritter, you think Three's Company. You think really, really funny physical comedian. But he was, sadly, a hell of a dramatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, obviously the character of Ben, after the events of them as kids, he goes on to, you know,
Famous architect,
gets into bodybuilding, becomes physically fit, and is just always probably the only one that does not look anything like what he did when he was younger.
Totally different.
So, you know, John Ritter was a great choice for that performance.
Oh, absolutely.
He was outstanding as well.
You almost think that when they come back that he's going to take over that lead role instead of Bill.
You would think.
We didn't even talk about Bill and Georgie.
We talked about Bill.
But we didn't talk about Georgie.
Because he's dead at 5 minutes into the...
I know we'll probably talk about this towards the end, but which version is more terrifying of Georgie's death.
Well, obviously, the newer one, you see more.
Yeah,
you see him literally bite his arm off.
Yeah, it's graphic.
Now, I've from the documentary that just started airing on streaming, they try to do that scene in the miniseries. Mm-hmm. Like, when they find Georgie and bring him back to his parents with his arm missing, you know, blood coming out. Like, the director was like, I wanted... They were like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, too much.
You can't do that. So,
well, we're going to talk about... At the end, we're going to talk about where the movies benefit or differ from each other, mostly in budget and in constraints. Absolutely. And stuff like that, because that's always just a fun conversation. Yeah. Going down the list, though, we have Harry Anderson, who plays Richie Tozier. And Seth Green, who plays the young one.
Yep. So you got Seth Green and you got Jonathan Brandis. Both would eventually become big, you know, teen actors. And then obviously Seth Green has turned himself into a big voice actor, does a lot of that stuff. So, and then Harry Anderson, another TV actor who mm-hmm. was he was a magician. He would be on the Tonight Show a lot doing the magic tricks. He had his own TV show, Night Court. So again, very much like John Ritter, he was big into comedy, did a lot of physical comedy. So again, a interesting casting choice, but he fits for that character because Tozier becomes basically a stand-up comedian,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he is just really, you know, that kind of humor with that. So good choice.
We got Dennis Christopher, who plays Eddie Kasprak.
Yeah, Kasprak.
Kasprak. Originally, they wanted Jim Carrey considered for the role.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Yeah.
Adam Farisi plays the young Eddie.
I don't think I could have seen Jim Carrey. I think he was too young.
Yeah.
I was too young at the time. But Dennis Christopher, another good actor. So the character of Eddie was the, you know, he was, I think, the youngest of the group. And he was obviously the more meek and mild of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Very, you know, asthma, always sick. And Dennis Christopher brings that through.
The overbearing mom.
Yeah. Dennis Christopher definitely brings that through as an adult. You see the anguish on his face that, you know, he's still controlled by his mom, even though he's got this successful business and stuff like that. So, really, really good.
Tim Reed portrays Mike Hanlon, the only black kid in the club. That's what it actually says.
David Alan Green initially considered for the role of Mike before Reed was cast. Tim Reed, again, another big television star of the 70s and 80s, WKRP in Cincinnati. He was the father in Alley Cat Strike.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Marlon Taylor portrays the young Mike.
The young Mike.
And then rounding out the club is Richard Mauser, who portrays Stanley Uris.
Yeah.
Young Stanley was played by Ben Heller.
So this character is always the big one, and I was interested to see how they pulled it off in the new one as well. For anyone who doesn't know, Stanley, as an adult, you see him for a whopping 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's the catalyst that starts the movie.
Starts the second half. Because he is the only one that couldn't handle going back to face it. You know, and
he knew that going there would have put his friends in danger.
Yeah. So he
the noble sacrifice.
Kills himself. So Richard Mazur plays the character, like I said, he's in it for a couple minutes. But he does have this great scene, like about an hour later, where Pennywise is really messing with the adults, and they believe what they see is his severed head in the fridge, and he does this like really funny, like, you know, just mocking everybody and stuff like that. Really funny, not funny, but you know what I mean. It's humorous.
Memorable.
Memorable scene. Especially, again, for a TV miniseries in 1990.
So this TV miniseries got away with a lot, especially
ABC. I mean, it's not even like it was for Fox. It was for ABC.
Which is the Disney network.
Not yet,
but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. ABC has always been geared towards family. Mm. Even before Disney bought it, it was always a family network. Like, really, just never really took huge risks until, like, NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you could say Three's Company was a risk, but, you know, whatever. But NYPD Blue is when the network really was like, oh, wow, we can do shows like this? Okay.
Now, speaking of pushing boundaries, or rewatchability is a good word.
Oh.
This movie is very rewatchable, but absolutely. However, I always caveat this, especially nowadays. Henry Bowers, he's the bully that kind of aligns himself with Pennywise without really knowing it.
I don't know if because Pennywise
manipulates
him because he's in a broken home. His father is
an absolute
abusive monster. And Pennywise, you know, praise on that.
Because also Pennywise feeds on fear, and Henry was already scaring people.
He was scaring people because he was scared at home.
Yeah.
He was using out his aggressions on all the other kids. No excuse for it, but I'm just saying that's what it was.
Michael Cole plays the adult Henry, and Jared Blatchard plays the younger version, and
he was, I mean,
he's fantastic, but just be aware he uses the N-word a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and a fair amount.
It's the times, and it's what the storyline is, and it just shows you the despicableness of the character. Fun fact, when he was shooting the movie, you know,
he was constantly apologizing
and just saying, you know, I'm really sorry, I hate saying this, and you know,
the two of them remained friends for
the
years.
The actor was just like, I know you don't mean it.
It's like a Django Unchained, yeah. Stuff like that. Like, you don't go into the movie without knowing that. Like, they would have told the actress, yeah. Hey, man,
well, Blazing Saddles is another one.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like the actor, who is it? The actor that plays the sidekick to Slim Pickens would go up to Cleavon Lim and be like, I'm really sorry. And he goes, dude, if I thought you believed what you were saying, I would have punched you like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you're just acting. It's fine. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's again, they do it in the remake too. It's because it's part of the story.
Exactly.
You can't change that.
Now let's look at, this was a two-part miniseries.
Two-part miniseries, yes.
Now the original novel length,
mm-hmm,
is 1,138 pages.
Yeah.
And so to knock that down to a screenplay of 215 pages, mm-hmm, so almost a fourth of the total book, they had to take out a lot of stuff.
This is always the problem when you're adapting a book into a movie. Now, you could say, in this case, they probably were able to get more stuff in because it was two parts.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just one part, God knows what the movie would have been. I mean, you probably would have, you know, only done the adults and maybe a couple flashbacks to the kids and done that way. I don't know. Or you would have just done the kid's story and not even had him as adults. I don't know. But it's, you know, that's why I thought the remake was so smart, because they announced right away, we're doing this in two movies.
Exactly. And it was smart and it made sense.
It made sense. Now, the only, I guess, I don't think they ever really thought like, oh, the first one's not going to be successful, we're not going to do it. I'm sure they were like, well, if we're doing this, you have to agree that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the budget of the first, of what the grosses of the first movie does, we got to be able to do the second one because it completes the story.
Right. Now, there is one scene that has been removed from both movies.
Oh, yes.
There is a scene at the end of the first half when, mm-hmm, they're still children where they all, there's a, all right, we're all adults, we can do this.
Pretty much an orgy.
There is a Losers Club orgy where, yes, they all take turns with Beverly.
Yes. Now, the reasoning behind what the whole point of that in the book is that Pennywise only feeds on children.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do to no longer be the prey of Pennywise? You become an adult. You become, and what's, I guess you could say, the first step in becoming an adult is you deal with sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, both the TV movie and even the R-rated remake didn't even go there.
No, they, in the
R-rated, I was actually, that was one thing I was like, are they gonna, they can't.
They can't do it.
They can't do it.
They're kids.
Yeah.
But in the remake, they do a great scene of like all of them like joining hands, yeah, and, you know, doing the blood pact and all that stuff.
Yeah, because they couldn't even do the blood pact in 1990 because it was still the HIV scare.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
they just did, they spit, I think they, which even still is
gross.
Like, gross. But I think they just did like, they each spit in their hands and they shook.
Now, also, in the miniseries, I want to say at the end, Pennywise doesn't turn into a giant spider like he does in the book. And
no, it's like a, it's not a, it looks like a spider, but it's not a spider.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a, looks like a spider / crab. At least the miniseries one. And it's funny watching the documentary and listening to, you know, the directors and the actors go, it's a effing spider? Really? And I guess what happened after the fact was that some people were like, oh, how could you not have them fight Pennywise? Mm-hmm. Like, how could you? And the director's just like, okay, I look back on it now and I agree with you because we didn't know that Tim Curry would be so iconic in the role. We knew he was good, but did we think that 30 years later, this role would still be like so highly regarded?
Mm.
No. If he was able to do it over, he's like, yeah, I would have been like, Steven, can I just have them beat the clown? Because it just would have made more sense. It would have, you know, feel more vindication that they were able to defeat.
Don't they do that in the R-rated one where they just kind of beat Pennywise with like sticks and stuff?
It's bad. I saw both in theaters, but I can't remember it as well as I can remember the miniseries.
That's fine. I mean, cause
it's
one of those things.
It was very good, and we'll talk about it obviously in a few minutes. But it's tough because I feel both the miniseries and even in the remake, the second part is tough. It struggles.
Yes.
I think the kid's story is the more enduring story. It's the more story that you want to follow and stuff like that. So once you get to the adult story, not by anything like the actors do or anything like that, or even the script, it's just not as, I don't know. I just don't really, maybe that's because Pennywise kind of disappears because Pennywise is the story to a lot of people. So, you know, that's my opinion there.
But and I think we'll talk about the remake in a second, actually. I liked. So, Star City rating for the original It miniseries as a whole.
As a whole, I give it a 4.
I'm with you. I think 4 is a solid rating
for
it. I
give it a 4.
Yeah, I can stand behind you on that
Again,
one.
For a TV movie, what they were able to do, now, can only imagine what they were able to do with a higher budget. Because, again, TV budget's not that big. Why they went with TV actors? Because you couldn't afford to get big name you know, movie stars. But even the effects, I mean, again, this is practical effects. This is, you know, there's a shot using claymation in the shower scene where Pennywise like splits the floor open and pops up. When they defeat Pennywise at the end of the first half and he like does a flip and then like goes into the drain, that was like, looked like it was claymation. Yeah, you could look at it and go like, oh, that's fake. And like, well, no, but that's what they were able to do. It still looks cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, and honestly, you could even say to me, I think Stephen King's works work better as TV miniseries.
I agree.
I mean, there's something say there. What you want about The Shining, you know, the Jack Nicholson Shining. It's a fantastic movie, but it's not the book.
No.
If you watch the miniseries of The Shining that they did like in the late 90s, that is the definitive, you know, filmed version of The Shining. Mm. The Stand is huge. Everybody loves that, but that's was a TV miniseries. This, and I believe there's one more and I'm blanking on and I can't remember, but there's been feature length. I mean, you know, Shawshank Redemption. Everybody loves Shawshank Redemption. Green Mile. Christine. Salem's Lot was a TV movie. So it's very, you know, it seems to be, you know, depending on the story, which one works better in which form.
Right.
But
fun fact also, Tim Curry has less than 20 minutes of screen time.
I believe it.
It is wild.
He even gets a special appearance credit in the movie. Like, it's not even starring Tim Curry. It's special appearance by Tim Curry.
I love it.
Now,
I think that's TV contracts and stuff like that.
Probably. It's funny. Okay, so stupid question. I don't know where this is coming from. But when you watch something and you're like, to me, when you see special appearance, I'm thinking like a straight cameo.
Like
one scene or something like that. So to get a special appearance with, you know, 20 minutes, yes, but he's on the freaking cover of the DVD, of the VHS DVD, whenever it was. Like, I remember in video stores seeing that cover with the clown and the claw and the evil grin. I never knew that was Tim Curry.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Didn't know for Tim Curry for, you know, for probably the first 10 years of my life before I was like watching it. I'm going like, this guy's voice sounds really familiar. Where do I know this from?
It's driving me crazy.
Seriously.
But that is going to wrap us up on part one of our It discussion. When we come back, we are talking about the It and It Chapter 2 R-rated remakes. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and now we're talking about It and It Chapter 2, the R-rated not remakes, I guess, but adaptations.
Yeah, I could say adaptation because it's really not a remake of the TV series. It's just it's a two-part, you know, feature-length version of the book.
And this movie's horrifying. The first one especially.
Yes.
I still have trouble watching this movie sometimes, especially late at night, especially...
Why would you be watching it late at night?
Why am I not watching it late at night? Because that's what I do. So let's start. Obviously, we talked about Tim Curry. Let's talk about Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise, the dancing clown.
So obviously, when they first announced that they were doing this, everybody would be like, well, how are you going to replace Tim Curry? Who is possibly going to do such a good job as Tim Curry did? And I remember they first cast... wasn't Bill Skarsgård. It was the kid from We're the Millers.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember his name.
It's going to drive me crazy. Keep going.
You know, but that was the original choice for Pennywise. And I remember going like, okay, I have nothing to back up.
Will Poulter.
Thank you. So I have nothing to back up that this would be good or not. So I'm like, I'm intrigued. I'll see it. Whatever. And I think the movie was like in development hell for a while, and finally he backed out, or I don't even think the original director backed out. And then so finally Cary Fukunaga, who I believe, didn't he just direct the No Time to Die? Wasn't he the...
I think so.
Yeah. He ended up coming on board and casting Bill Skarsgård. And I'll even say Bill Skarsgård I knew nothing about. I mean, obviously I know he's the youngest son of Stellan Skarsgård, but I don't think I'd seen anything with him in it. And again, I was just like, all right, I'll give it a shot. I mean, because I you can't look at him and go like, I could see him in a clown outfit.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you could say the same thing about Tim Curry. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know how he's going to do this.
But he is terrifying in this.
He is very good.
They tried to limit how much the kids saw him beforehand. Mm. Like, as much as they possibly could. A lot of the kids didn't even see him before they actually started filming with him. And there's a lot of great behind the scenes stuff of him, like, interacting with the kids and, like, you know, especially, like, he was terrifying.
Yeah.
There's a
YouTube video out there somewhere of him with, I think, Bill Hader and the adult crew, and he's doing something with his eyes.
So,
and it freaks the crap out of everybody.
So here's what he can do, apparently. He can make his eyes look different directions.
That's what it was.
And you see it in the movie every once in a while. That is a natural talent that he has. Yeah.
So Tim Curry took his... I mean, obviously, Tim Curry's British.
Mm-hmm.
And every little while in that movie, you can hear the British accent come out. You know, not significant, but there are a few times where it's like, oh, that's Tim Curry speaking. But for most of the movie, he puts on this like, hey, George, like he's got that like, you know, hey, Georgie, the voice, you know. With Bill Skarsgård, he has this like nails on a chalkboard like voice. It's like, hi, Georgie. I got a balloon. And it's like,
it's so
what?
Creepy. Like,
okay, this is good. I like this.
Oh, that opening scene. That's the make or break scene for Pennywise.
I mean, it's the scene that endeared us to Tim Curry, and mm-hmm. you gotta hit that, and it's you gotta start the audience off. The audience knows what's gonna happen
mm-hmm. for the most part.
Pretty much in that movie theater, everybody knew this kid was gonna die. Mm-hmm. We just didn't know what we were gonna see,
and we saw it.
And we saw it.
Wow, that death scene is hard to watch.
It is.
Like, just the second he... Because I think the original It, they bit the kid's arm too, but just pulled him into the
sewer. Just pulled him in the sewer, yeah.
This, he bites his arm off. Georgie flies back. There's blood squirting everywhere. It's like, it is... All right, we're in full-on R-rated horror movie.
Absolutely. There was no holding back in this
so
movie.
So let's address that really quick. These movies are R-rated. Because you can't do a PG... You can do a PG-13 It, but in all honesty, like...
Why would you want to?
We are in the time that R-rated movies are now known to be moneymakers, that you can make money off them.
I mean, I guess you could say that the TV miniseries, if you made that exact movie the way it was for theaters, nothing else differed, probably would have been PG-13.
Probably.
But because children are involved,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have gotten an R-rating.
Probably.
But there's really in that movie to me, there's nothing over the top violent.
No.
You know,
this has
some blood, little blood, nothing crazy in this movie. This is straight on, you know, gore. You know, just anything that you imagined while reading the book, you got in this movie.
Exactly. And now, do you think this movie benefited from having such advances in technology? Because they do a very nice balance of practical and CGI.
Yeah, no, it definitely.
think it's hard. I hate to look back at older movies that, like you were talking about the claymation thing and how at the time that was like,
yeah,
that was it. Like, wow, that's great. Now we look back on it, we're very spoiled by CGI and special effects.
That's fair. I don't begrudge anybody for feeling that way. I just don't, because I know the movie's a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at a movie and go, it couldn't do what we do today back then. So marvel at what they were able to do. I mean, yeah, I would love to go back to the 1940s and, you know, see, you know, CGI Universal Monsters. Not really. No, I wouldn't, because that would just kill me. But you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
like,
with you.
If you could do that, would you? You could. But
it's like when I have kids one day and they want to watch a superhero movie, I'm going to show them Superman the movie before I show them Man
Absolutely.
Of Steel. And that's not even a testament to which movie's just better,
no,
scripts or whatever.
It.
That's just because they wouldn't be able to appreciate Superman the movie after seeing Man of Steel. Like, why does he look so fake? You know,
I would not be a fan of your kids if they said that.
Wow.
Why would they look so fake?
Uncle Sean just disappeared.
God.
All right. So let's talk about the rest of the cast.
Culture
your children. We have playing Bill in this turnaround is James McAvoy plays the adult Bill, while Jaden Martell plays the young Bill.
Yeah.
Both do fantastic.
Yes.
I mean, there is nothing wrong with the casting of these movies.
No.
I think they nail it, especially the kid to adult ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do a very good job with making the transition over.
Now, they also, I feel, in this movie, the older actors feel on the younger side in terms of the miniseries, where I don't know if they were supposed to, they were obviously supposed to be 27 years older, but they looked a lot older than only being 27 years older than their respective ages were in the first part.
Because they're about 13-ish in
give
the
or
first
take.
Movie, so,
yeah,
they're
so
about
they should
40.
Be 40, give or take, yeah, a year. And I'm sorry, some of those actors in the original miniseries do not look like they're 40.
No.
They look probably mid-40s, maybe. I could be wrong, but they don't look like it. Here, it looks like, okay, I can believe that these people are the 27-year-old versions of themselves.
We got Jessica Chastain playing Bev and Sophia Lillis playing the young Bev.
So the interesting part was when the first part came out and the second part had not been cast yet, there is a video, you know, I think they were interviewing all the kids and they were asking them, oh, who do you want to play the older version of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who. I think the kid who played Bill actually did say James McAvoy.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact the girl said Jessica Chastain. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, that's a really good idea. And what happens? We get James McAvoy and Jessica Chastain to play, you know, those characters in the adult version, which is great.
Yeah. And then we get one of my favorite ones, Bill Hader as Richie and Finn Wolfhard as the young Richie.
So Finn Wolfhard, obviously, we all know from Stranger Things, and that was a big thing when he was cast in it, because this was...
It also kind of solidified him as more of like, what's the equivalent of a scream queen for boys? Like, I mean, he's been in a lot of horror and supernatural stuff.
But he's big in like the... He hasn't done anything that's not like 80s.
Yeah, very nostalgic.
Nostalgic
kind of stuff.
Feel to
yeah.
it. He's been doing a lot of nostalgic feel stuff. But can I just say how much I love Bill Hader?
I think Bill Hader is one of those actors that is only now getting his due. And it's a shame because he is fantastic.
I wish I would have stayed up and watched Saturday Night Live when he was on.
Oh my God, yes.
Because I watched clips of him on that show and holy crap, is he freaking hilarious.
He's really funny.
And I have not watched his show, Barry.
I've
I hear
heard
it's fantastic.
Fantastic things,
but just an absolute genius. And I thought when they cast him as the adult Richie, I was like, sold.
Mm-hmm.
No issues. And he was, I mean, just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
What did you think about them having the gay storyline for him? I thought it made sense.
It's you obviously they didn't go down that road in the miniseries, but you know,
1990,
but no issues with it at all.
I am either. We have Isaiah Mustafa as the older Mike and Chosen Jacobs as the young Mike.
I don't know anything about either actor.
I know Isaiah Mustafa.
What's he from?
He's been in a couple of things. He's the Old Spice guy.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, look at that. See? Dropping it on you like that.
Wow.
Let's see. He was that. He was in It Chapter 2. Let's see. A lot of TV stuff.
All right.
Like Chuck, Charlie's Angels, Blackish. Oh, he's in Gears of War 3. That's funny. But yeah, I like him in the second one. I think he's like super level-headed, and obviously he gets the losers all back. He's the only one that stays.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only one that remembers everything that happens. It's crazy.
I always thought that was a great storyline, was that once you left the town, you would forget.
Yeah.
And like, even to the point where like Bill forgets about his brother.
Which is terrifying.
You know, and the whole notion that everybody in the town of Derry doesn't want to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So like all the adults are just like, you know, it's all, no, it's all good. Nothing happens, you know. You know, they're not paying, you know, they're obviously, you know, obviously the parents of the kids who vanish and are killed obviously know something.
Yeah, they get the signs up and all that stuff. Yeah. But we got Jay Ryan as Ben, younger Ben, played by Jeremy Ray Taylor. I think they do a great job finding an actor that does not look like the child at all. But that's the only, it's, I think you mentioned in the other one that that's the point for Ben.
Well, that's the point for Ben, because he's obviously changed so much since his childhood days that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got a little thing for Beverly still in this
just
one.
Just a tad.
Like just a little thing. James Ransone as Eddie, young Eddie, played by Jack Dylan Grazier. Same thing they do, and they actually really say, like, he's got Munchausen by proxy. Like, mm-hmm. For those of you guys who don't know, it's when a parent keeps their child sick for the attention that they gain of it. But
they don't even go into that in the miniseries. They go that head on in this movie, where like he, you know, flips out on his mom when he finds out that like his inhaler is just basically, it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's all placebo.
So it's like,
it's wild. God. We got Andy Bean as Stan, young Stan, played by Wyatt Olef. And I think that pretty much rounds out the Losers Club.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on the cast that you want to jump in on?
No, not really. I thought it was a solid cast. Again, this is it was a much more, obviously being a feature length, you know, cinematic release, you know, you had to get some of those big name actors to really take on the adult roles, and getting James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, Bill Hader was huge. You know, big star power.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I mean, nothing against Bill Skarsgård. I don't think you would say Bill Skarsgård is up there in terms of a, you know, star power actor.
He was great in Deadpool 2.
Who is he in Deadpool 2?
Oh, he was one that spit the acidic venom, and he goes into the wood chipper.
That's right.
Yeah. Of course. Yep, that's all he got. And then
Brad Pitt's the one that got electrocuted,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All he needed was a cup of coffee. That's all Ryan Reynolds had to give to him. But who did he play in it? It's going to drive me crazy. Oh, Zeitgeist is the name of the character.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so for me, I think the general understanding, the general consensus is that the first one is better than the second one.
Yeah, and you could say that about the miniseries too. Mm-hmm. The kid's story is just, I think, the better parts of the story. It's also, you know, it's tough to go from the kids to the adults and have that same, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, you know, feelings towards the characters. Because mm-hmm. again, when you're dealing with kids, you get more involved and stuff like that.
Well, also, like, even Skarsgård said he had more fun. He had a better time filming the second one, because the first one, he was basically sequestered on his own.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they kept him away from the kids. They kept him out of the public light so people wouldn't see, you know, too much of him. But then in the second one, he was able to, you know, interact with the adults. Yeah. You know, he was able to talk to them. He was able to socialize. And they cut his time in the makeup chair in half, which is always a big thing. Like, say what you, as much as we love practical effects, I can't imagine sitting in a makeup chair for 6-7 hours to put on prosthetics.
Back in the 40s when Chaney had to sit in the chair for 12 hours to be made up as the Wolfman.
And can you imagine having to then work after that?
I know.
Like, for another
So the 12-hour one is when they would put a little bit of makeup on, shoot, put a little makeup on, so they were filming the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
When it's just him in the full outfit and stuff, I think it's more like 5-6 hours in the chair.
Yeah.
Not saying that's any better.
I know, right?
But, you know, that type of stuff. When they're filming the transformation scene, that's why it takes so long, because they got to do a little film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can only imagine, you know, obviously, you know, you got to create the makeup, you got to, you know, get them in there for the first movie, and then you know, by the time the second movie comes around, you've come up with, you know, techniques to make it faster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to, you know, you keep all the records of what you did from the first movie, and it makes it much easier. But yeah, I agree. I can't imagine being in a chair. I couldn't do it.
Mm-mm.
Especially getting stuff on. No,
thank you. All right, so Star City rating for It and It Chapter 2. We'll do it as one.
I was one, 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 is kind of where I was leaning.
Very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was there opening weekend for both, you know. And I
think the Tim Curry one has a little bit of nostalgia glasses to it.
It's nostalgic. I mean, it's you know, people grew up on it. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I mean, it's tough.
It was groundbreaking for its time. And, you know, it still holds up for the most part. Say what you will about the effects, but, like, I still say it. Yeah.
I really did enjoy the remake. I really did. I thought they did a great job.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, really did. And I thought Bill Skarsgård was excellent. I mean, really, really good.
Really good?
Really good.
Really, really good?
Maybe not really, really, really good, but really good.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave it at that. And
Not it, but that.
And I hope you guys are going to, you know, stick with us for October, because we have some Halloween stuff that we're going to be doing. Yeah, some horror movies. Disney Plus exclusive release of Hocus Pocus 2. But
It's the same movie. Oh.
The exact same movie. And that's us just assuming. We don't actually know. But thank you guys for listening.
We do.
Yeah, I know. If you guys want more of our content, you go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but all of our other shows, reviews, articles, the Misfits store. You can also find us on social media, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. Just type in the Misfit Faction or type in Cinematic Adventures. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. But that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Georgie.